And we are back. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, as I say into the microphone. I can't hear anything. My headphones were off. By the way, you hear during the break, let me come in and try this again. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. I was totally thrown off by the fact that my headphones weren't working. Boom, right? It's like I'm.
That was it.
It must be Friday.
It's Friday. That's what it is.
It's Friday all day long. Friday here is like Monday to the rest of the world. But anyway, all that to say, folks, listen. We have got it going on here. But when you hear things on the breaks, like advertising, just know this. That's part of how we support this show. Right Side Radio is a standalone business. We are not owned by the stations that you hear us on. We are a standalone entity. We have our own budget, our own revenue streams, part of which involves advertising. If you listen to this show and you're thinking, man, those guys got it going on. They say the things I believe in. They talk the way I talk. I want my business lined up with them. I know that Right Side ruffians are out there who would buy my stuff or cater to my business. Well, listen, we want you on the team. We'd love to have you. But the way you do it is you don't call the stations. You have to contact us. So go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. And there's a place on there where it says advertising and contact. Click on it. Send us a message. We'll be in touch with you immediately. And I'm just telling you, we would love to have you on the team. If you want to advertise at Right Side Radio, go to rightsideradio.org and send us a message. We'll be right back in touch.
So, hey, right before you start, did you see the text from your lovely wife?
The sweet Charlene just sent Charlene and I a text.
She did. And so I had to look it up. It's from Babylon Bee, obviously. Yeah. It's pretty funny. But it was on what we were talking about yesterday, the Delta flight. And it happened to have, it says, following a much publicized incident this week in which a flight had to turn around due to a passenger suffering from an intense issue that created a biohazard, Delta Airlines has announced that all planes will be outfitted with an explosive diarrhea warning light.
Ding! Ladies and gentlemen, the captain's turned on the explosive diarrhea light. Please remain in your seats while someone tries to run down the aisle.
So Babylon Bee put that out, and it's the little poop symbol, but it's smiling, so it makes everybody happy.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That is so awesome. How long did we talk about that yesterday?
It's like I don't know, but it was a good bit. It was a good bit.
Oh my gosh, I still think that had to have been like the flight from hell.
It would be just, awful. Just awful.
Somebody's just blowing their way down the aisle. Leaving a trail.
Excuse me. What?
I mean, can you imagine being the guy like somebody's impeding their progress down the aisle and they're stuck right next to you?
Ooh, okay. I feel bad for the flight attendants too.
So yeah, thank you, my love. Thank you, Charlene, for sending us some momentary respite from the news. Yeah, ding, ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the explosive diarrhea sign. Please remain in your seats while someone makes their way down the aisles, hurriedly. Oh my gosh. Brandy from Athens just heard all this and she just texted in and says, she says, it's poop and flowers, y'all. It's poop and flowers. It's always poop and flowers. TL from Huntsville just sent us something. What does he say here? I'll have to go back and look at it, TL. It was more than I can look at in the brief scan that it looked. JT from Lacey Springs says, here's your sign reference. Let's print business cards to hand that out and say, you need a sign. all right, we're going to number two on the Triple Dipper, Next Gen Military. So it's really, you know, it's amazing the capabilities of the U.S. military. Nothing else compares to it on the world stage. Now, we have what we often refer to as our near-peer adversaries, notably China and Russia. Russia's getting their backsides handed to them in Ukraine right now. I mean, it's still a force-on-force conflict. I mean, it's not like they're not getting something done. But what we're seeing more and more is that the much-vaunted Russian bear is a bit more toothless than had been expected. However, that not to say that we would ever just, you know, take them for granted. But what I am saying is we've learned a lot. And then you got China. China is rapidly approaching the level of the U.S. military. Now, the U.S. military, though, is still an amazingly technologically advanced fighting force. And those of y'all that are green suiters right now, by the way, thank you for your service. Those who are veterans in the audience, thank you for your service. Those who are family members, thank you for the service of your whole family who supports, and we appreciate you. But listen, the things that are even being designed now that haven't even come into play yet, but they're being worked on, are amazing. Some good, some bad. All right, so let me walk through a few of these and prepare yourselves. In fact, Brian from Huntsville, prepare yourselves. I'm going to talk about the announcement just made 2 days ago about the next main battle tank. First of all, it's not always about what they carry to war. It's interesting, and this is a little creepy, to be honest. It's a little creepy. But this story, I had to pull it off military.com because it deals with Redstone Arsenal right here in the listening area. Redstone Arsenal, according to military.com, facial scanners are getting a new look at some cars entering Redstone Arsenal. Anybody who's ever driven into any military installation, and Redstone being one that I've driven into many times, you know the deal. You pull up at the gate, you take out your ID card, you have to show them the ID card. It used to be you just showed the ID card and they saluted and sent you on your way. And then it's got to where they show the ID card and they actually scan it. I mean, I remember back in the day when you had a sticker on your window and it shows your rank and you pulled up to the gate and they just saluted the sticker and you kept moving forward. It's advanced over the years. Now it's advanced to the point that Redstone, which there's like 40,000 people that go to work on Redstone every day. But Redstone is part of an experimental opportunity perfecting a scanning system that uses facial recognition that can help Arsenal employees get on base quicker and safer. It says a single camera version of such technology already scans and validates drivers at gates 9, 7, and 1, the main Arsenal gate off of I-565, and at Martin Road East. And at gate 10, it says, we're testing four separate cameras all at the same time, giving us the capability to vet multiple occupants in one vehicle. So what are we talking about here? Well, it literally is a camera that it's randomly assessing and it grabs your face, locks in, and apparently they've got your facial recognition stored in the system. That's not creepy. That's not creepy at all. Because you know what's going to wind up happening. At some point, they're going to require you to have a facial scan. And then at some point after that, they're going to require that these facial scans then be shared across the wider DOD system. So if you drive from Redstone to, say, I don't know, pick one, Fort Campbell, and you go to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and you go to the gate, they're already going to have your face. Okay, I get it. So there's a simple idea here, said one of the proponents of this, is that everybody coming on the installation has then been vetted and has a purpose coming on the installation. Drivers approaching gate 10. All right, those of y'all that work on Redstone and you go to gate 10, it says drivers approaching gate 10 are going to see cameras in square boxes that are mounted on stands. And at some certain trigger point, they're going to see the box have a flashing red light on it. That means the system is then identifying all of the faces it sees in the vehicle. And it tells the guard if it matches an ID. So, all right, I'm just saying, I mean, before I even get into weapon systems, we should protect our installations. I'm for that. We should. I just find this is getting a little more big brotherish than even I'm used to. All right. Next story. Big doings. So my dad was a tanker. I've got other family members that are armor officers. And my dad was a tanker. And in fact, sitting right here in the studio, right next to Boomer, is a 120 mil. Wait, was that a 105? 105 shell from my dad's M60 tank, sitting right beside us here in the studio. Love it. When I was growing up, M60 shell casings were umbrella stands in our house. But the M60 finally gave way to the M1 Abrams, and you had the M1A1, the M1A2, and then there's different versions of the M1A2. They are on right now what is known as the M1A2 SEP 3, and they were working on SEP 4. That stands for System Enhancement Package Version 4. Well, they just made a major announcement. In the last 2 days, it has been announced that the Army is now, for the first time in decades, moving towards an entirely new tank. Now, it'll have Abrams capabilities. In fact, right now they're calling it the M1E3 Abrams. So they're going away from the A's, moving to the E's. This is because they're in a complete modernization. What I'm about to go through with several things here. I've got stuff on the Air Force, stuff on the Navy, stuff on the Army. Is force modernization has now gotten a huge push. The military-industrial complex is going to love that, but I'll be honest with you, I do recognize that our troops need to stay ahead of the game. And so, yes, right now, I'll talk about it more in a minute after we get back from this break, but the Army is, for the first time in decades, moving to a new main battle tank that will carry the fight to the enemy. And we've learned a lot on the war in Ukraine about the kind of things that we need in that modernization, and I guarantee you there's some integrated lessons. You guys, all you green suiters out there, stay tuned. We'll talk about it. And those of y'all that are just keenly interested in the military, you're going to like this too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, making common sense a superpower. Hey, the text lines just like woke up all of a sudden. Let's see what we got here. Dustin from Hazel Green, the Army's Dark Eagle hypersonic had a second failure this past week. Testing phase. All right. Yep. Okay. Brian from Decatur. As powerful as the U.S. military is, we can be the biggest and baddest force on Earth, but if cowards are in charge, how will they be willing to use that force? Ooh, great quote. I get it. You're right. Mike from Athens, it works great most of the time. I don't know what he's referring to. Maybe he's referring to the thing I talked about with the visual scans, the facial scans. Brandy from Athens says, Gate 9 at Redstone. Gate 9 sometimes catches both me and Badger in the car. The image is compared to your CAC card picture. Okay. So basically it's, all right, so it's accessing CAC data. And everybody who's got any kind of connection to the military has had a CAC card, which has like all your data on it, like everything. Somebody who didn't give us, Jeremy, we got a brand new one there, Jeremy from Meridianville. We're glad you're in the text string. He says, hey, Phil, the camera's pretty nuts. He said, I PCS'd to Redstone a few months ago from Korea, and they already have me in the system. I'm assuming they're using the CAC photos. Apparently they are. So the problem is I could have had anyone in the car with me. That's true. It's I guess they're working out the kinks here, but yeah. Scott from Decatur, they did not need a scan of your face. It works off your ID photo. Okay, everybody squaring me away. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Steve from Madison says, I even had the M1 IP with 105mm. The 105 was awesome. Yeah. By the way, I just picked up the shell to make sure that I had it down right. Make sure I did say 105 correctly. It is. It's a 105 shell casing standing right here in the studio, and it was fired from my dad's M60, and I know the year now because I turned it over and realized not only is the nomenclature on there for the shell and the caliber of it, at the very very small subscript it says 1969, and we were stationed. That was right after Dad's first tour in Vietnam, and we were stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas, and that's when he was actually an armor officer at Fort Riley. So yeah, very cool. Sitting here in the studio. Chris from Gadsden says, the new Abrams tank will be as good as long as the E does not stand for electric. Perfect point, Chris from Gadsden. This is not scheduled to be an electric tank, but I have it on good authority from someone who works the systems that there has been a field testing of an electric tank and that it is considered to be something that has proven some measure of viability, which I assume means it did roll down the road for a few feet. I cannot see this being viable. Anyway, yeah, thanks, Chris. Mike from Athens, and you can get your driver's license tied to your CAC just in case you forget it. Oh, great. And then brand spanking new in the text lines with no name. Oh, okay, they texted in and said their name is Gene from Rascaltown. Gene from Rascaltown, okay. Or Terrytown, whichever you prefer. He says prior service, Air Force, and active Army Reserve, and he says they're playing with some of the Chinese-owned games where they made man-made islands and they're claiming. Okay, I see what you're saying, sir. Yeah, we're looking at the next big fight potentially in the Philippines next to Taiwan. We'll wait and see. Thanks for your service, appreciate it. And his name is Gene. Thank you, Gene. I got a caller on the line real quick. Is that Sparky? Sparky from Harvest. How are you doing, my brother?
Hey, I'm good. I'm just pulling off on Greenbrier Road by the big rusty water tower.
Yeah. I know exactly where you are. Go ahead.
Force modernization is always important, and we pay people in the military to think a generation or two ahead at all times and petition for great new stuff. You always hope it's stuff that the warfighter is asking for, and not the good idea fairy from a variety of organizations inside the military who say, well, we want this, and the soldiers in the field are going to love it. But one thing I can't get out of my mind about China catching up with this, I feel strongly that the Chinese military is tough, they're ruthless, a lot tougher than our current couple of upcoming generations of potential future soldiers are. And I can guarantee you, regardless of the condition of their equipment, they're not wasting time having seminars to talk about transgender wonderfulness and equity and diversity. They're talking about war fighting and winning wars. And any military leaders within the sound of this radio station, please remember that's the focus. You got to take care of your troops. You got to modernize. But mainly you got to be constantly preparing to win wars. Not sitting around talking about how wonderful transgender people are. That's a recipe for failure, and I wish we would put that behind us forever.
Yeah, I totally agree, and you're right. I'm concerned right now that more than ever before, because it's not like it's the first time, but more than ever before, we're seeing the U.S. military has become a social engineering experimentation platform, and that's got to stop.
Well, the thing is, you assess and you retain people who are fit mentally and emotionally and physically, and you build them into tough leaders so that you can go win wars.
Yeah.
If you say, I'm going to bring in people who are guaranteed to have mental and emotional problems, who are guaranteed to be needing a lot of medical care and surgeries and medications, and guaranteed to be non-deployable, you lost me. Because I don't care what your social ambitions are, you shot yourself in the foot, and I think it's why we see a lot of people who aren't being retained. They're walking away from it because they can't put up with it. We can't have an election to get these idiots thrown out of office quick enough for me, because the damage done to the U.S. military is on the verge of being unrepairable.
I'm with you, brother. Hey, listen, I got one more call I got to take before the break, man. You have a great weekend, all right?
You too.
See you, Spark. Line two, real quick, Brian from Huntsville. Hey, man, how are you?
Oh, doing well, and I've already used the facial identification for about a year and a half out in the arsenal. They paused it for a while. But in any case, the M1, the first one, also the M60, I've gunned both of them. They had the 105 with the shell casing.
Yes.
The M1A1 had the 120 millimeter to match with NATO rounds with Germany.
There you go.
And almost all the shell casing burns off, and all you have is an AV cap. You just got the bare end of it left over.
So
So
you couldn't make an umbrella stand out of that one, I guess.
No, but it saves a whole lot of wear on the loader having to dodge shell casings when he's loading.
I would guess so, because the one I've got here is 2.5 feet tall. I mean, it's standing right here next to Boomer and I in the studio, and it's significant.
And they stack up on the range, and they actually burn through your BDUs, the shell casing.
no doubt. Well, that's why it pays me the TC one up in the tall hatch. That's right. All right, man. Brian, thanks so much for your service. Appreciate you. You and Sparky both. All right, listen. We're going to come back, and we're going to take this down the line a little bit. Next generation military. And by the way, Scott from Decatur just texted in and says, electric tanks will work if they get portable nuclear reactors working and go easy with the moving fuel. There you go. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Next gen military, that's on tap. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues for hour number three. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to the last hour of the, generally speaking, the work week. We're about in go-home mode. Let me just tell you, it's a weekend, y'all. It's a weekend. So, hey, listen, I'm in Dipper number two. I'm calling this Next Gen Military. And by the way, if you haven't seen it, let me highly recommend something to you. There's a movie out there. It's 20 years old. But it's called Pentagon Wars. And it stars Kelsey Grammer. But Pentagon Wars is a spoof, but yet not a spoof. It's based on what it took to build the Bradley fighting vehicle that we now have in our inventory. The Bradley fighting vehicle was never intended to be what it is now. The Bradley fighting vehicle originally was going to be a slim, you know, it replaced the, was it the M113 armored personnel carrier? It was supposed to replace that. It was supposed to have, you know, capacity for troops and yet have some lethality attached to it. No, it became like a tank that carries troops. And the Pentagon Wars goes through the frustrations of what it took to build something from scratch that was actually considered to be, you know, lethal and survivable and you know, capable. Anyway, it's a funny movie. Unfortunately, it's got so many echoes of truth in it. When I was actually at the Pentagon as an action officer, I was required to go through the action officer course, and they actually had to sit there and watch part of that movie because it was telltale. It was good. All right. That being said, though, you still got to develop weapon systems, and they don't design overnight. They just don't. Designing brand new high-tech weapon systems is often a protracted process, and you can look at something that's considered to be underway now, and it can be a legacy project, and it's still not be employed yet because technology advances, things change, and then you find out they've been working on one piece that now doesn't coalesce with the other piece, and so there's constant upgrades and reviews and design challenges and whatever. And then I think there's also waste. There's waste. But that being said, let's go back and talk about the tank. So story here from Detroit Arsenal up in Michigan. Public Affairs Office put out an announcement 2 days ago. It has now been firmly announced. The U.S. Army announced today the path forward for what is being called the M1E3 Abrams Main Battle Tank Modernization Program. Now, I don't know for a fact, and I meant to ask somebody that I know quite well who's working in this modernization, is this going to maintain the name Abrams, or is that temporary? I don't know if it's going to look like an Abrams, but what it says is they're going to close out the M1A2s, which is what we currently have. By the way, the Abrams tank, if you've never, listen, I'm an infantry guy, right? In fact, I was straight leg infantry, airborne infantry. I never even did mech infantry, except, I mean, I rolled with them sometimes, but that my role was light. But I have always admired watching an Abrams tank in full action. If you have never seen, I mean, just Google it and watch the videos. If you've never seen an Abrams tank doing 35 to 45 miles an hour over rough terrain, and that barrel is doing its self-stabilization thing, staying on target while it rolls, and the tank turret pivots to the left and blows out a target while it's on the run, I'm just telling you, man, that's the stuff. The Army will close out the M1A2 system enhancement package, that's what they're working on now, and go straight to the next main battle tank, which will be on the battlefield of 2040 and beyond, it says. It says, we must optimize the Abrams mobility and survivability to allow the tank to continue to close with and destroy the enemy as the apex predator on future battlefields. Okay, I'm digging the terminology. I mean, how good is that you're designing something to close with and destroy the enemy as the apex predator on future battlefields? I'm liking it. It's going to take a while. It is. It's going to take a lot of money. It just is. But Major General Glenn Dean, who's the Program Executive Officer for Ground Combat Systems, says the war in Ukraine has highlighted a critical need for integrated protections for soldiers built from within instead of just adding on. What he's saying there is, for years, they've just been adding on to the current platform. For years, the Abrams has been had new, like Legos, has had like new Lego pieces stacked on it, new stuff, new you know, everything, integrated, you know, force protection measures, you know, sighting and target acquisition, and it's just been stacked on. They said basically it's time to go ahead. You know what? Let's quit stacking stuff on. You can only stack so long. So they're designing a next main battle tank, and here we go. I tell you what, let me skip forward. While I'm talking Army, we're getting darn close to having like something that looks like a Star Wars stormtrooper. I got the picture right here. Boom, do you see it on my screen over here? I mean, this is legit, man. The Army has approved its next phase. Army Times has the article dated yesterday. The Army approves the next phase for what is known as the augmented reality device. What? Yeah. The augmented reality device. It's called, look it up if you want to. I mean, this is where we're starting to get into stormtrooper mode. The Integrated Visual Augmentation System. Just Google it. You can just Google Army Integrated Visual Augmentation System. Y'all, this is cool. The Army's top civilian over acquisitions has approved the next phase of development of the service's do-it-all device called the Integrated Visual Augmentation System. The prototype device is currently being tested by soldiers of the 10th Mountain Division. They're hoping they can have it in production by the year 2025. It's a $22 billion program. Here's the bottom line. Picture something that basically comes down over half of the soldier's face, and it includes night vision. It includes the ability to integrate mapping technology and be able to do heads-up displays on things that your squad, your tactical unit is participating in. You can have one user fly a micro drone out over an area that begins to map out the place where the assault is about to take place, and the troops back in the rear are watching it all together in real time, and they know what they're about to get into. It's got the ability to work on what's called a tactical cloud, which is where people can transfer information back and forth. It's gonna, on the one hand, I worry about making our troops so technical that they get lost in the tech, but I also recognize I come from a different generation. I'm the old school, stubby pencil, get out your compass, find your way through the woods guy. What they're saying here is that the generation that we're bringing into the fray now is the generation that has been working on multiple tech devices all at one time, and this is not near as scary to the 18-year-old coming in the Army of today as compared to the 18-year-old of my day. I get it. But I mean, this thing will even pull up data like how to set your sectors of fire and where the sectors are, first aid instructions, targeting assistance, terrain map construction, all of it within one headset. It has navigation, it has wayfinding, targeting. And then, of course, you got the issues with night vision. Night vision has been the slowdown. When you have that much stuff built in, you got to make sure that, you know, everything that was analog back in the day is now on digits. But that's happening right now, the Integrated Visual Augmentation System. We're about to have stormtroopers in the Army. What about the Air Force? Well, the Air Force recently announced, according to an article on 1945.com, next-gen Air Force, the B-21 Raider. All right, so the B-21, it's a wing-style bomber. Now, we currently have in our inventory, we got the B-52 Stratofortress, the B-1B Lancer, the B-2 Spirit, the Stealth. I mean, the Stratofortress has got a 70,000-pound payload. It's the big heavy hitter. The Lancer is supersonic. It can fly at high speeds and evade enemy anti-air capabilities. The Spirit is the stealth bomber that uses stealth capabilities and can bring in nuclear close to the front. But the B-21 now is allegedly going to be eventually taking over duties where all three platforms have been. So the B-21 looks similar to the B-2 wing, the flying wing design, but rather than just the typical aircraft design, the B-21 resembles one large wing, and the configuration apparently increases lift and requires less time to fly. But the Air Force, next-gen Air Force, is saying that they plan to buy upwards of 100 Raiders, B-21 Raiders, enough to retire all of their B-1s and B-2s and maybe even their B-52s. I mean, the B-52 has been flying for like 70 years. So, next-gen Air Force, there you go. All right, but it ain't all good news. It ain't all good news. We still got issues. And so I'm going to talk about next-gen military. I'm going to wrap this up right after the thing. Navy, y'all got some problems. Navy's got issues. There's this little thing called the Littoral Combat Ship. Oh, yeah. Take it to the break right now. We come back from the break. I'll talk about the Littoral Combat Ship, which some are calling the little crappy ship. Oh, yeah. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Next Gen Military. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I gotta tell you, the lovely Charlene, who is every bit as conservative and astute as anybody I know, just texted in and said, you better believe the Chinese are in hyperdrive trying to steal all of our new military technology. And then she called them thugs. Yes, my love, you are probably correct. The next piece I've got here is the Navy. So the littoral combat ships, they were built, many of them, I believe, maybe all of them, I don't know, but they were built in Mobile, down at Austell Boatyards. Total mess. I'm still trying to figure out why that was okay. I mean, I saw a movie the other day, actually we were watching just last night, as a matter of fact, and they used the USS Missouri. Man, that was a battleship. That was, and I get it. I mean, times change, things are, but that was a battleship. That was a we rule the seas battleship. The littoral combat ships were, you know, sleek and small and designed to be almost like stealthy in the water. And well, how's that worked out after billions and billions and billions of dollars were poured into them? Points out here that the USS Freedom was one of the littoral combat ships. It was one of the first ones that actually took to the water. It was one of the new class of vehicles known as the LCS, or the Littoral Combat Ships. The U.S. Navy billed them as technical marvels, small, fast, and light, able to combat enemies at seas, hunt mines, sink submarines. Cool. Well, each ship cost $500 million, and they all suffered embarrassing breakdowns on a regular basis. It says the USS Freedom was in a major exercise, and its performance during the exercise was designed to show off its ability to destroy underwater mines. This is in what year was this? 2016. The Freedom, though, was in bad shape. Dozens of pieces of equipment on board were undergoing repairs. Training the crews for the new class of ships had proven more difficult than anticipated. And the sailors aboard the Freedom had not passed an exam demonstrating their ability to operate some of the systems. And despite crippling problems that had left one of its four engines inoperable, they decided to go ahead and take it to sea and rely on its other three engines for the exercise. It was a joint exercise with the UK, Canada, Australia, Japan, South Korea, hundreds of ships in the water. The Freedom did complete the mission, but accomplishment was rather hollow because 5 days after it returned to port, a maintenance check revealed that the faltering engine had suffered what they called a galloping corrosion of salt water. And one sailor described the engine room as a horror show with rust eating away at the machinery. It spent the next 2 years undergoing repairs. 2 years in dry dock going through repairs. The ongoing problems, though, have been documented for years, this article points out. And it says contractors stood to profit millions by lobbying Congress, whose members in turn fought to build more ships in their home districts. But the LCS program offers another clear lesson, often seen in infamous procurement disasters, that once a massive project gains momentum and the defense contractors begin hiring, it's politically easier just to throw good money after bad. Says the LCS was a missed opportunity. The Navy tried to retire now many of the littoral combat ships before they even reach their expected lifespan. Ships that were now designed to last 25 years are being mothballed after less than a decade. In response to questions, the Navy acknowledged the LCS was not suitable for fighting its peer competitors like China. The LCS does not provide lethality or survivability needed in a high-end fight, and that's a quote from the Navy. So why did we build them? What the heck, y'all? I mean, at some point, how come somebody can't look somebody else in the eye and go, stop the madness? I mean, I remember I grudgingly admired when Donald Rumsfeld canceled several projects. I think one of them was it. Didn't he cancel the Paladin? And then didn't he also cancel? Gosh, what was it? The Joint Strike Fighter. I mean, he looked at it and said, "Look, if you can't make this work by now, we're done. We're not going to keep putting money into this." And that's got to happen more often. Tell you what. Last thing I'll tell you is next gen military is not always about the actual technology. Sometimes it's about what you're doing. Story here on the Army Times. Army recruiters are just at 2/3 of their contract goals as fiscal year closes. So this story came out yesterday. With 1 month remaining in the fiscal year, Army Secretary Christine Wormuth, who needs to resign, by the way. Okay. Army Secretary Christine Wormuth said that the service is going to miss its fiscal 2023 recruiting goals for the second year in a row by several thousand. Several thousand. They're just not hitting the mark, y'all. Now, they're trying to blame it on whether or not people, you know, in the recruiting pool, so to speak, are able to get it done these days. But I will say this, story on Task and Purpose, that came out about a week ago, says that after a year as a pilot program, the U.S. Army's boot camp for basic training is becoming permanent. What they've done is they've now instituted a pre-basic. Then for two reasons. One, if you don't physically meet the standards, or two, if you don't meet the ASFAB testing standards, then you can go into these programs for 90 days. And if in 90 days you can hit the mark, you can go into the service. And if in 90 days you don't hit the mark, you're out. But at least they've tried to do what they can to bring you up to speed, because they recognize that some kids these days are coming in not having had the level of activity in their life, or not having had the exposure to testing that they could have, and they're plussing them up. It's sad on the one hand. At the same time, it's a novel approach. And the Army reported that more than 8,800 people took part in that Future Soldier Prep course, and they had a 95% graduation rate. It also said that the graduates often receive bonuses then to go into the service permanently. So, good on them, next-gen military. Good on them. All right, we're going to come back and kind of wrap this up. We've got Dipper number 3 on tap for you. I'm talking about know your enemy. Like, pay attention to where the information comes from. When you hear a recent study reports, who made that study? And where did they get their money to fund the study? It's amazing. Well, some of that is because when we look at our sourcing for this show, we have to also recognize where it's coming from, and we have to know our enemies. I'm just telling you, there's some organizations out there that sound candy-coated, and they are not. Number 3 on the Triple Dipper is coming up in just a minute. I'm calling it Know Your Enemy. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, on a Friday afternoon. We'll be right back.